All right, here we go. Welcome, everybody. GFBS for Grand Forks Best Source. On the show today, Public Information Officer for the City of Grand Forks, John Bernstrom, is back in the house. How about that? Love having John on the show. If you want to find out what's going on in Grand Forks, he's the dude to talk to. Show, by the way, brought to you by Burggraf's Ace Hardware and Paint in Grand Forks, the helpful place on South Washington Street and the corner of the Grand Cities Mall. You know, Ace Hardware is your lawn and garden and grilling headquarters with over 50 grills assembled and ready to go. They even offer free in-town delivery. Weber, Traeger, Big Green Egg, Napoleon Grills, they've got them all. In fact, they've got everything. We're in there 2-3 times a day. Probably everything you see in here, almost all of it comes from Burggraf's. You can see their full list of department and store services at acehardware.com or call them up 701-738-0455. Burggraf's Ace Hardware and Paint. Ace, the helpful place. Have any questions or comments or complaints? Never said that before. Feel free to call or text 701-213-0863. I might have to start adding that in. 701-213-0863. And before we get too much further into the show, it is time for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Now, John, I know you have a pool at your house.
I do.
Did you know that Helen Keller had a pool?
Okay.
She didn't know either. I was kind of iffy about that one. How about this one? No, I better not. How have you been?
Good, good. You know, we're almost through July.
I know. Paul and I were talking about that this morning, and it sucks that we're almost through July.
Yeah, it just goes so stinking fast, and you know, and we sit there, and I've got two young kids and stuff like that, so it's baseball and it's running around to activities. My son actually did this is a shout out to the school district and the Helping Hands program. It's a volunteer program, and so my son's been doing that this summer. So we call it his job, right? He's not old enough to, you know, to work away from the house. Loves it.
Does he?
Absolutely loves it. Yep. No, great program. Gets the kids out there. Gets them used to working. Little stuff where he's just like, you know, I wonder if I can do this today. And we're like, that's not a question for me.
Right.
You need to call your boss.
Yeah. Are you finding, because I found this out, are you kind of reliving your youth through your children?
Yes and no. I actually had this conversation with my father
a
couple of weeks ago. I grew up on a farm.
Oh, sure.
My son is almost 13.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I was 13, I was, you know, I'm not lucky to be here, but I did a lot of things that you look back and you're just like, you know, alone in a field on a tractor for four hours. We're just going to trust you'll be there when you get back. You know, hopefully you don't break down.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And I was telling the conversation with my dad. I'm just like, you know, my son's great. You know, and he works hard and everything. It's just, can't imagine him doing some of those things.
I know.
And my dad just laughs. He's like, yeah, you and your siblings did a lot of adult things as children.
Well, my son, okay, I've got two grandkids now. My son's pushing 36. I still don't know if he could change a tire on a car or not. But you know what happens? You know, dad, my chain fell off my bike. Did they call you about that or are they pretty hands-on?
No, that my son's pretty handy. Stuff like that. What happens is I will, 2 days later, oh, by the way, this broke.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know? And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I'm broken. They're like, dude, we got to figure it out. My son is really good of trying to figure things out. He gets this from my wife's father, his grandfather. Mm-hmm. He loves taking stuff apart.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, just
every kid does.
Taking it apart. You know, my wife had a hairdryer that broke. And my son goes, don't throw it away. And he took that thing into every piece, which was funny. And then he gets it to pieces. He's like, that's cool. And he walks away.
Yeah.
But he loves figuring how things work, or you know how it's put together, stuff like that. He really enjoys that. So the whole trick would be to now put it back together.
Sure,
but we're getting there.
I can't even do that.
Right.
Well, you're here today, so obviously you didn't win the Powerball last night.
That's right. Yeah. No,
it's over $1 billion now.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that crazy?
What is it? Somebody came up to me and they're like, "The city should buy. What is it? Is it the lottery tickets?
Yeah.
Whichever ones it is." And that will pay for the underpass in 40 seconds. just count
if they can win.
That's right.
I know what are they going to have another drawing? I think on Friday, and it's like $1.05 billion.
It'll probably go up because dollar figures like that. Sure. It's people like me that never buy lottery tickets and be like, it's worth a shot,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how many more people buy
the Mega Millions? All right. Now it's been huge on the news lately. Well, for quite a while now, but I wanted to ask you about, I know there was this another city council hearing, I believe, on Monday.
Yep.
Do you ever just wish one time, because I assume you're at all these city council meetings.
I'm at most of them. Yep.
You ever just one time wish you could bring a cooler of beer and a box of popcorn and just sit back and watch the show? Because never fails with the Fufong thing. It seems like there's little fireworks everywhere, even if people aren't supposed to be speaking. It's not an open forum, but people tend to. I watch just enough of it to get the gist of it on Monday, but you ever get that feeling like, wow, I mean, this is great entertainment?
Well, maybe the first time it's getting a little repetitive.
Yeah.
I'm at a lot of these.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to the council met as a committee of the whole, so that there's not public input there. That's the council digesting stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At city council meetings, there's public input and whatnot. Not, that's on Monday. So you hear this, so they didn't allow us to speak. Committee of the Whole, they normally don't, unless
sure.
you're staff or they call on you, mm-hmm. right? They,
mm-hmm.
And then there's also this perception of, it's a public meeting, so I have to be able to speak. Actually, the law is technically only on public hearings, which
yes.
are only a few items. That's where you're required by law. City of Grand Forks actually goes above and beyond when it comes to the public input part. But it's getting a little repetitive. Back to my children, I was at the meeting on Monday. It was at work till 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. whatever. My son was watching to see when I was going to come home. And his response, this is an interesting perspective, right? His response was, how come they didn't get in trouble? If I act like that in school, I get in trouble.
Good question.
And I'm like, you're right, bud.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. There's ways to act.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Not saying you have to conform or agree, but there's other ways to have conversations than necessarily being the loudest person in the room.
Now, I know Governor Burgum is involved with it now.
Yep.
He called for a federal review, all of this stuff. Is Fufong going to go through? I mean, as far as we know.
Well, here's the deal. So at the federal level, it's called CFIUS,
mm-hmm.
Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S.
Yep.
They review purchases of property by foreign entities to see if it's if there's a national security issue.
Yep.
Right. And they have a few that are just automatic triggers, technology, certain industries. Ag industry is not one of those.
Right.
So this is an ag industry, mm-hmm. right? So it didn't create the automatic trigger for this committee. So it was a request by our senators to this committee saying, can you take a look at this one based on its proximity to military installations? And at this point, it's voluntary. So the Fufang group is voluntarily cooperating mm-hmm. with
they don't have to.
They don't have to. There's no law saying they have to. They're voluntarily submitting to this CFIUS mm-hmm. committee. And that's in review right now. Burgum sent the letter to the president on Monday just saying, hey, let's not drag our feet on this one.
Right, right.
For the sake of the city of Grand Forks, sake for the state of North Dakota, sake for can we get a decision one way or the other so we know how to move forward?
Mm-hmm.
That's the national security side. On the city side and the state side, we're continuing to, wastewater studies, traffic study came in, odor, plumes, and there's different plumes. There's thermal plume, the mm-hmm. heat that is brought off and what it does with aviation. Then there's the actual, visual plume,
yep, yep.
Stuff like that. So we're still going through that process. Now, people will say, you're spending this money and it may not happen. Credit to administration, Dan Gosted, and working with Fufang. There's a development agreement that was agreed on, and Fufang has put $5 million up front to cover our costs for this stuff in
oh, wow.
case it does fall through.
So kind of a good faith little thing there.
Good faith by them, and also protects the city if something comes up and we're like, we're not going to allow this to happen for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Whatever reason, the city's costs are covered.
You know, I never did think about this until right now when you talk about the plumes and stuff. You know, when we look at our airport here in Grand Forks, very much closer than the Air Force Base is. But a lot of people think, well, it's Grand Forks Airport, big deal, it won't be affected. Grand Forks Airport's one of the busiest airports in the United States.
As far as takeoff and landing,
And people don't realize that. Now, granted, most of the time, the airplanes are landing, coming in from the south, most of the times, because they're facing a northwest wind all the time. But they still got to take off that way, and then you'll see they're either going to head east or west and head down south. But I never realized that, but that could be an issue even with the Grand Forks Airport.
Well, and it was brought up because the how corn milling works is coming out of their what we see is, you know, they're stacks, right? Mm-hmm. Their evaporation is actually heat, right? So the thermal plume was a discussion of, all right, when the plant is operating as normal based on the information we have, the temperature that's coming out, I can't remember what the temperature was, and how long that takes to dissipate and what that does to airspace. And they, as they said, they go, this is a common study and discussion we have with other factories around the country, around the world. And it's, if anything, just let the airport know if there's some sort of shutdown or having an issues and it's producing more heat. Hey, just don't fly over the plant.
Yeah, because
go around it.
Right, because heat brings lift.
Yep, brings lift. Changes the air.
Right. Yep. I was good friends with an ultralight pilot.
He
used to come and land it in my yard, and I thought, well, man, it must be nice in the spring flying over these nice, warm, black fields that haven't started to sprout yet. And he said, actually, those are the worst ones to fly over because the heat, he said, all of a sudden you'll shoot up 500 feet. And I never thought about it that way. Yeah,
right. So it's anyway, and that's just going through those studies. There's how many boxes yet to be checked, how many, all that stuff. So all those things are going on, right? And the shovel hasn't been put in the ground yet.
Right. So, I mean, we're still a ways away.
We're a ways away. Yeah, I know this group is upset because the Fufan group has brought equipment in, I believe, from California, from a previous corn milling plant. Mm-hmm. And they don't like that because Fufan said it was going to be a state-of-the-art plant. I don't know what this equipment is. At no point have we seen a site plan. At that point, you see a site plan.
Sure.
You inspect the construction. You inspect all that. That's when all that stuff happens. I don't know what they're bringing in, but if they want to spend money and bring it in, I mean, they can't build anything yet.
No.
It's their business.
Big storm Friday night, Saturday morning. We see the city of Grand Forks has got a lot of work to do the next couple of weeks. Explain, because, me not being in town, I know I had one heck of a mess out of my house.
I can imagine,
But I've also got 6 acres and a big burn pile, so it's not that big of a deal for me. But people in Grand Forks now, if they've got limbs down, trees down, any of that kind of stuff, what should they do?
So bring it out to the berm. The city's in the process. We started on Monday. We're working with the park district of just driving up and down the streets and picking stuff up. It's going to take a couple of weeks. One thing we're doing that is going to take a week to 2 weeks. We also, at the landfill, normally if you bring a trailer full of, let's say you cut down a tree in your yard, you get charged for that to dump it. Free dumping of tree debris for the next 2 weeks as well.
Next 2 weeks. So, it's not going to cost you anything. Maybe a little elbow grease if you don't want to wait for the city. But and they started way down, on the north end, and they're just going to slowly work their way south. Is that all that's working?
I think the park district, I noticed them Saturday morning driving up and down streets, and I think they were assessing this neighborhood's worse than this neighborhood.
Okay,
and this neighborhood.
Sure.
And we have limbs hanging. We need to trim these down, stuff like that. So I think it's a little hodgepodge, but they're like, we need to go to this neighborhood first, and then this one, and then this one, because they have the biggest need.
Okay, so you probably get the guys that are running the tree cutting machines first, and they go down there and make sure that the safety thing is good, and then so all the piles are there at one time. You don't have to come back again, and it's a done deal.
Yeah, so I wish I could tell you it's working their way south. They're on a specific route, but they're... They started in Riverside.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it, but I guess that neighborhood had a lot of trees in it. So
you think about the Riverside area compared to the south end of town. Quite a bit of a difference when it comes to full grown and mature trees.
And I've got full grown trees in my neighborhood, and we had a pretty big mess on our street. And I drove one block north, and not that bad. They had stuff, but not as. So we had more on our block than.
Well, they said that the Mallory area was one of the hardest hit, and of course that's right where I live. But it was a long night of racing. I was at the racetrack, and my wife did wake me enough to get us down into the basement. I basically slept through it all.
I slept through it.
And she said she was watching my pickup parked outside my garage, and she said it was just shaking.
Just shaking.
And I know when I got up the next morning, it looked like a bomb had gone off in my yard. My truck was just covered with debris. But I'm glad it's done.
Yep.
You know, we dodged another bullet there. It could have been worse.
Well, and one of those, we were dealing with quite a bit of heat there for a little bit. I mean, you've been around here for a while. You get hot like that around here, so something's got to give.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You can't get back to normal temperatures without the sky doing something.
Yeah, and you know, I live far enough out in the country, but you could still hear those sirens in East Grand Forks, and that'll usually get your attention. So, scooters coming to town. Fill us in on that. I know that was brought up again on Monday at the city council meeting.
So, if everything gets passed this coming Monday. So what it is the company's Bird. You go to other communities, you can see them. I was this summer I was in New Ulm, Minnesota. They had Bird scooters there.
Yep.
They're GPS based. You know, you need an app and it unlocks the scooter, and then you get charged for how long you have it, stuff like that. Bird approached, I believe it started with UND.
Okay.
And got an agreement with UND of, hey, if we can come to town, we'll do this for the campus. You think about, you know, they'll put a bunch of scooters on campus, probably some downtown.
Sure.
But what the UND needed was an ordinance change from the city, because the city doesn't have an ordinance addressing electric scooters.
Okay.
Which then makes it illegal.
Yep.
So they approached the city. Hey, here's our pitch. Here's how it'll work. All we need from the city is a reference and ordinance, or a specific ordinance to it. Bird is in Bismarck, so I know our and just in Bismarck.
Mm-hmm.
I know our city attorney talked with it. Hey, how'd you write your ordinance up? Stuff like that. They have an agreement. There are some council members that are not sure. Like, you go to some communities. I was in St. Louis last year, and they were everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But they were everywhere.
Yeah,
like they were just all over the sidewalks.
Too many.
Almost too many. Right. And Bird has told us, they're like, oh, we can have it set up, and it's all done through geo and maps and stuff like that. It's not like a physical gated area, but you can only drop it off in this area, or else you can't take it off your account.
Oh, sure.
So then you keep getting charged.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you drive it home and you park it outside your house, you're probably getting charged for that.
Okay.
The entire time.
Now, these will not be allowed on the greenway. Am I correct there?
I'm
because I was wondering what the difference is between those and like an electric bike. You know, except you stand or sit.
You're right. I don't know the details in that ordinance yet. The big one is, have them on public right-of-way, not on, like downtown sidewalks don't work great.
Well, you're not supposed to ride a bike on a sidewalk
you're
either.
Not,
that's
right.
That's just a law.
So it's I don't know the details of that ordinance yet. And it's still getting worked out a little bit. But if it passes on Monday, that would allow Bird, and that's the name of the company, start bringing scooters in, because I can see it. You know, they want them here before school starts at UND.
Sure.
You know, and it
makes sense.
It makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense, right? And will there be hiccups along the way? And, you know.
Well, always.
Always. Of course. Yep. And, you know, you work through that and you try to refine it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, one step forward, two steps back until you get it figured out.
Exactly.
This
exactly.
is what we do in life.
That's what we do in life. Yeah, you need to screw up in order to fix it.
Yeah, sometimes you got to learn the hard way. John Bernstrom, Public Information Officer for the City of Grand Forks, back in the studio today. We love having John on the show, but right now we're going to take a break and we're going to talk a little bit about executive properties. You know, I was sitting on my deck last night enjoying a nice, cool beverage. And I bet you a lot of you people are thinking, gosh, I wish I had a deck like the neighbors did. Tell you what, get a hold of Executive Properties. These guys do all types of commercial and residential work, including decks, windows, siding, pretty much everything. I see they were putting in an egress window here a couple of weeks ago. But these guys got a ton of experience. They're willing to work with any budget. They've got senior and referral discounts, too. If you don't believe me, check out their reviews on Facebook and Google. If you hire these guys, no matter what, they're going to get back to you. Some of these contractors just don't call back, but these guys will. Executive Properties, you can call them up at 701-330-1273 or also check them out at executiveproperties.org. John Bernstrom is back. public information officer with the city of Grand Forks, and John, living up here in the tundra. This is something we talk about every time you're on the show. Road construction. I know I came off of Belmont this morning heading down 17th, and I see they've got this like gravel stuff on the road. We were talking about this before we went on. Explain what they're doing there.
So, first off, to those that live on 17th and on 24th, we're from the city. We're sorry. This happens every once in a while. We were let know by the contractor that this work was going to be done at the end of this week. So I'm just like, all right, I'll send something out on Monday and all this stuff. I get a first phone call I get on Monday is from our engineer, and he's just like, John, I'm sorry. And I'm like, what are you sorry about? It's Monday. And he's just like, contractor's already working. I'm like, what? And he goes, I just found out. And I'm like, oh, okay. So what it is, it's called a scrub seal. We've done it on a couple of spots. Now, really, all roads in town, we're just buying time, right? Sure, that's all we're doing.
That's all you can do here. You put a Band-Aid on them, make it as best you can.
You do Band-Aids, and you want to gain 5 years, you want to gain 10 years, you do Band-Aids again. That just the climate we have here is just tough on everything. So this is another one of those, hey, we can buy a few years on 24th and 17th. So what they do is they repair the potholes and seal cracks and do stuff like that. And then what they started doing yesterday is they lay down like a layer of tar.
Okay.
And then it's this gravel.
It's almost like a pea rock.
Kind of something like that. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's not dirt, but it's gravel. It goes on top of it. And then you put it. They come back again and put like a seal on it. So what happened on 24th and 17th, they started working, you know, 4 days before we expected them to start working, you know, and when they're doing the work, whether your car's in your driveway or not, you're stuck.
While
the work is going on. So they, and again, feel bad for that. They put down the tar and the gravel yesterday, and today they're closed again and they're doing the seal on it. Then they're done.
Sure.
Okay. So they were able to open it up last night. You can drive on that. It's like driving on a gravel road.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Got a little dusty, probably a little bit. Yeah. But that's, you want that on that to beat it into beat it into that tar.
Sure. And it was funny because Monday when I was driving down 17th, because between Belmont and Cherry, it's horrible.
Yeah.
And you can see that
narrow in there. Yeah.
And they lined all the spots that need repairing with a pink spray paint.
Sure.
And the whole street. It was just, it looked like blood vessels. Yep. I mean, basically that whole chunk needed it. I know last time Mayor Bochansky was on the show, we talked about that street, but you got to do what you can. And yeah, it kind of sucks for the people that were caught off guard, like all were.
We were too.
But then again, you know, you got to look at it as at least it's going to be done. And it's going to be done a little bit earlier, and they should be good to go by this weekend, I would imagine, over there.
End of today.
Okay.
And end of today, and it probably in some of those, I'm not sure if they're doing 17th first or 24th first. That heck, probably this afternoon. And they'll have that back open. But I got a couple of phone calls, and they're like, I'm stuck in my driveway, or I can't get back into my driveway. And I'm like,
On 17th, you might have to walk a couple of blocks.
Yeah, you get a couple
to
of those,
your driveway.
Right. And it's one thing, you know. Walking a couple of blocks stinks, at least if I know what's coming, right? And I get it.
As long as you just come from the grocery store with a car full of groceries.
As a communication person, my job is to let people know, and that one was one. And I only had a couple, and I explained, and they're like, oh, well, we'll be done. And they said that. They're like, well, we'll be done sooner. I'm like, yeah, end of day today, it'll be done.
Well, good. I can't wait to drive down that street tomorrow morning on my way to work. While we're talking construction, John, the bridge keeps coming up. We need a new bridge, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what they're thinking across a river with that chunk of land they bought off of 32nd there or directly across. It makes no sense to me. But now, I'm just talking to John Bernstrom here as just a concerned citizen. Wouldn't you think it would be better to have the bridge more south of town because trucks, for one thing, can go on it? And I look at it this way because I drive through downtown East Grand Forks almost every day. When you get down there, the streets are horrible. You know, they had that cobblestone stuff there for a while and things like that. But, and believe me, I drive a beet truck, so I'm not knocking beet trucks or beet farmers here, but let's face it, these heavy trucks in the fall during the beet harvest, they beat the living tar out of our streets, literally. So if they put a bridge on 32nd, trucks wouldn't be allowed on that bridge. And I believe it would be a low bridge, too. So the odds are it would probably get shut down in the spring. But and now if they go farther south, would that be a higher up bridge?
Well, here's my two cents. My understanding, you know, a higher bridge costs more, so that they have these they have these formulas. You take emotion out of it. You take other logistics out. And it's a rate of return type, you know. My two my two cents, John Bernstrom speaking here, if we build a bridge, we got to build a dry one.
Yes. Yes.
Right. We have years like this year, we were down to one bridge for weeks.
Yeah.
Right. And what that does for commutes and stuff.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
We need to have a high bridge. We've had fall floods before too.
Mm-hmm.
And heaven forbid during beet harvest.
Oh boy.
A bridge gets shut down. Right.
Grand Forks would be shut down.
Yeah.
It basically would.
And I look at what they did in Drayton.
Mm, yeah.
You know, and that
or Thompson. The new Thompson Bridge, right. Too, another one.
But Drayton's bridge was like the Sorley.
Mm-hmm.
And now, and they did it. It's commerce and all this stuff. You know, they need the beets from Minnesota to get over to that plant in Drayton.
Yes, yes.
They need that. And they built this massive bridge. That bridge goes underwater. Don't worry about farming because everything's underwater.
Everything.
I would love to see something, maybe not to that size, but something larger. To have another option, whether that's on, Merrifield Road or mm-hmm. something like that, to have a large bridge option. So when it comes to specifically in the spring, an option to get back and forth.
And you know, the thing is East Grand Forks, they complain that really that doesn't help them out as far as it would the Grand Forks people, because Grand Forks is farther south. Yep. But again, East Grand Forks, they're kind of like Grand Forks. I don't really think they're going to grow much to the north. I think sure. It's going to keep growing. It's going to keep growing to the south. And as far as I'm concerned, you put that thing down on Merrifield Road or whatever, even where I live, that's huge for me. Because right now, if I want to go to, say, Menards on a Saturday at noon, it's a half-hour drive from my house.
Sure.
When you look at it as the crow flies, I should be able to get there in about 10, 15 minutes. But we need the bridge. We need to stop the bickering. We just need to get it there, and it needs to be a dry bridge. I just wish they would decide, not everybody's going to be happy. They never are.
And there are other factors coming in, too. The city's also working with the state to try to get another interchange on the south end of town.
Yeah.
And it's a priority for the city of Grand Forks. One of the priorities is the amount of traffic on 32nd Avenue South.
Yeah, it's...
And there's only so much more we can do. Like, we can't add a lane.
You can't widen it anymore. You can't widen it.
We're kind of stuck. So mm-hmm. now it's, all right, we need to, like, a release valve. Well, as the city has grown south, do you add an interchange at 47th Merrifield?
Sure.
Pick a spot down there,
mm-hmm.
right? And that will potentially relieve some of that traffic off of 32nd.
Well, when we talk about road construction, it seems like it never ends on the 32nd Avenue part of town. Well, they're always constantly working on it because of what you said.
It gets the snot beat out of it.
Yeah, it does.
It's an older road, mm-hmm. right? Working on those turn lanes last year did make a difference. It made a difference as far as, you know, impacting some of those turns that happen. But there's only so much we can do on 32nd.
Right. I mean, otherwise you got to go all the way down to the Thompson exit. You know, that's a ways to go.
Yep.
Actually, probably my favorite way when I head to south to Fargo or whatever. One thing I wanted to bring up, I don't know if you've got anything about this, but, you know, after COVID and all that stuff, so nice to see the farmers market back downtown, where I think it should be all the time. It seems like downtown is picking up again. It's almost, you know, being revitalized a little bit. But great to see that we're able to get together again and use the downtown area.
I'll say this. Okay, so I work downtown. So I see it every day, right? I see downtown every day. We've got that Demers project done. The Hugo's is built. Those other buildings are being built, building a hotel right mm-hmm. now. Third Street got done. There is significantly more foot traffic downtown.
Oh, absolutely, there is.
I can't speak to businesses if they have a dollar value of it's gone up, gone down, stayed mm-hmm. the same, whatever. I'm just talking sheer people. There's just more people downtown, and I will say year-round as well. Winter has its impacts, right? When it's cold out, nobody's out.
Right.
But there's just more people downtown, and I think it's kind of neat, right? And then you bring in like Town Square,
mm-hmm.
that beacon gets built, and you kind of get like a lights thing that's in West Fargo, and you get stuff like that. And there's, you know, these contractors don't build these apartments and stuff just to do it. They're building it because they see a value in it.
Sure. I mean, you look at big cities. We all know people that live in cities that don't own a vehicle.
Yep.
They either, you know, they take public transit or they walk mm-hmm. or do whatever, but I used to live many, many years ago. I lived downtown. And how I survived was whatever downtown local bar had the apps and taps or whatever for the night.
Whatever the special
was. That's where I walked down to, and because I didn't want to drive around downtown. Yep. But you can actually live and survive and thrive by living in downtown Grand Forks and not even owning a vehicle.
Tell you what, my wife knows this already, but it is kind of handy. I'm going to talk about a single business here. So we have, it's called Life 360. Mm-hmm. It's with kids and stuff, it's nice to know, especially when they're walking to and from school and, you know, how's it going, stuff like that. Well, we all have it. Yep. The kids use it to find, am I on my way home from work? If I go to the hub, it shows me at work.
Oh, sure. You got to like that. I actually have that app on my phone, too. Somebody's keeping track of me.
That's a bonus. My wife will text me every once in a while. She's like, are you at work or at the hub?
Yeah. That's why if I walk over to Rumors, I leave my phone here. I see the Grand Forks Council Chambers maybe going to get a makeover.
Oh, yeah, it needs it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's no secret that the audio in that room is a pain in the butt. You in the business you're in, right?
Yep.
It's got like 12-foot ceilings.
Yep.
They're drop ceilings, so there's an extra how many feet above that.
Yep.
The speakers are, who knows, they invented speakers in the early 1900s. Yeah. Sometime after that when those speakers got put in. There's only so much lip from a acoustic standpoint. There's only so much lipstick we can put on that thing.
Right.
And going back to the Foo Fang discussion, I don't know how your head gets there of the audio is bad now. Audio's been bad forever.
Yeah.
But the audio is bad now and it's on purpose.
Yeah. You're like,
okay. So City Hall's gone through a few remodels, kind of a floor at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And the next floor that is coming up is the City Council Chamber. So it was presented as part of the city budget for 2023. The council just received it. They will give preliminary approval on the budget on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if it stays in there. If the council were to say, no, that estimated dollar, you know, we need to cut or whatever, we're probably going to do it again. It'll be lipstick a little bit, but we got to do something with audio. I've already brought that up. I'm just like, if this doesn't get in the budget, we may have to come back with a single line item for speakers. Yep. And microphones.
Well, nobody
like
wants
that
to hear.
Well, and here's another tough thing, and I'm sure you've run into it too. We can have the best speakers and microphones in that room. I have no control of what a person is using on Zoom.
Oh, sure.
I have no idea what room they're in. I have no idea what microphone they're using. I have no idea what headphones they're using. Some of them are great. Some of them are terrible.
Yeah.
So we can get all these great speakers and everything updated. Somebody in wherever giving a presentation over Zoom, I have no control over that.
Right. And on the same note, the leaky courthouse dome, about $48,000 to fix that, but this has been an issue for a while.
Yeah, and sure, that the courthouse, that's been an issue for a while. I'm trying to think how old that thing is.
Yeah, ever since I can remember.
You know,
I mean,
survived the flood,
yep.
Right? You know, one of the few, I mean, there's buildings downtown that survived, but a lot of buildings have gone through some form of renovation. That one survived. Who knows how long that dome was leaking before it was caught.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. And now you start dealing with historical register and stuff like that, maintaining the building.
And you know, they think, you know, people say, oh, big deal, it's got a leaky roof. Well, the thing is everything below that gets affected.
I know.
And there's records, there's computers, there's all kinds of equipment.
Forget mold or anything that they got to deal with. I mean, people have to work in there.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. It's nothing you can ignore.
Right. I also wanted to talk about Grand Forks Airport. Boardings are up. Things are finally starting to open up a little bit. If we take, you know, away monkeypox or donkeypox or whatever they're calling it today.
Whatever the next
thing
is.
But good to see that people are getting out again. The airport's being used, just not by UND students.
The airport is, it's getting more traffic. I heard an interesting, you talk about people just wanting to go somewhere. Did you hear McCarran Airport in Las Vegas had its busiest month ever.
Really?
Ever. And I don't know if it was, it obviously would be May or June numbers. I'm not sure how that gets reported. You know, not just busiest of the year, busiest ever. And that's a busy airport.
That's
right?
Crazy busy.
But it's once we kind of anticipated this, but it's hard to gauge, right? But it's like, all right, we can travel again. Well, I'm going. I don't care where.
Yeah. Just to get out.
I'm just going somewhere.
Are you a Vegas guy?
I've been once.
Me too.
No, I put me on a beach.
Yeah, me too. I have more fun when I go to Vegas. I have more fun in what's the whatever street.
Oh, downtown, the Fremont Street.
Fremont. Yeah. I have way more fun watching the freak show on Fremont Street. I'm not a gambler.
Yeah.
I don't like walking miles and miles and miles to watch people gamble.
In Vegas, you have to, everyone's, oh, you know, it's your hotels are next to each other. These hotels are blocks long.
Yes, they're
you
huge.
You walk miles.
Yeah, you go to a motel, it's the size of the Alaris Center, you know? It's,
oh,
they're huge. Yeah,
it is massive. You you go there, and if you don't have walking shoes, that's your fault.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I made the mistake when I went there, I had brand new shoes.
Oh, boy,
the blisters. Oh, yep. The blisters I had on my feet. Yep. Now, I don't know if you have anything to do with the county commission, but they're talking about possibly eliminating the Grand Forks Air Force Base retention efforts. They say it would save close to $160,000. Is that something that they should be thinking about?
You know, that's I'm not involved with that. That would be an interesting thing. So there's this group that got put together, when there was talk of back when we had tankers, right?
Yep.
Of does our base close or not, right? So they put this political group together of what do we need to do lobbying at a federal level to keep this base open. Well, they did their job, right? And not only did the base stay open, had some lean years, but now it's a very strategic base, right? Just got a new mission, and the new mission that nobody can talk about. Right.
Right. Right.
You know, so that's
but it sounds like a good, solid mission.
Yes. Right. All good things. I could understand. I don't know the details. I could understand. Do we need to continue to lobby to keep it open? We kind of did our job.
Mm-hmm.
And if we need to do that again, we do that again. You know, you got supporters in Washington. You've got, you know, so I don't know where to stand on that. I can just understand why it maybe came up.
So, now, if I get this right, I think there's only two bases in the United States with the Air Force that do the type of mission that they do here in Grand Forks.
Oh, yeah, that I don't know.
Yeah, it would seem to me that maybe they finally found the right thing. They're getting comfortable with the fact that maybe we don't have to keep fighting to keep the Air Force base open at Grand Forks. And if it's going to save $160,000 a year, that's pretty big money.
And along those lines, There was a time not that long ago where, keep fighting.
Oh, yeah. We didn't know if it was going
to
be open.
We need to let them know we're here. We need to let them know they're here. And the Air Force Base did downsize, right? They they closed bases,
yes.
You know, and Grand Forks was on that list for a while.
Sure.
And it survived.
Yeah. I know my wife was stationed in Germany when she was in the Air Force, and that hasn't been a base for 15 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as the world gets along a little better, we're used to, you know, sometimes we got to close those down. And I mean, let's face it. We're not making a lot of money in the United States. We're spending a lot more. So any way you can save is just the way to save.
My brother was in the Navy and stationed in Charleston, South Carolina. I believe that base is condos now.
Wow. That's something.
Yep.
Yeah, we drove, we got a rental car. We're driving around Germany. And I actually went to the house my wife lived in. This little town called Hahn, but no Air Force Base there anymore. But they still all remember it well. Is there anything that I haven't touched on here that you maybe want to talk about?
Trying to think here. We've got we're in the budget process. We're tearing up roads left and right. But it's been a pretty good summer for construction.
It has.
You know, I realize we've had some rainstorms and stuff like that, but nothing that's washed them out for a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if it happens in front of your house, yeah, it's a pain. It is a pain in the butt. I'm not gonna.
But you know, you
sugarcoat that.
You complain about your streets. You complain and complain and complain, and then you complain when they come in and fix it because it's an inconvenience to you. But then, quit complaining. You just got to think about this is going to be done soon.
And I guess the only thing is, we're probably going to have some heat later again this summer.
Sure.
We're not out of it yet.
No,
we still deal with. You know, you get it. We don't know when streets are set to blow up until they blow up.
Start buckling.
That's just caused by heat and pressure and everything. I wish I could say, this is the next spots we're keeping an eye on it. It is, you drive down the road 1 minute and you're like, it is heaving. This was not heaving yesterday. Got to be ready for that. So it's some of those repairs are emergency and you have to do it right then. Some of them, all right, we can patch this thing a little bit and do it later.
And these people that have winter homes in Arizona or Florida or wherever they're at, and they're, we don't have those problems there. Well, yeah, but you don't live in the tundra out there.
No, it's the temperature change that
yeah,
gets you.
When I used to do a lot of concrete work, I would have people ask me, do you guarantee your work? And I said, I guarantee it will crack.
Yeah.
I can maybe help control where it cracks. But that's just the way it goes up here. You know, maybe you guys have noticed this in the spring. You've got doors that don't want to shut right.
Yep.
Or in the, you know, in the fall. But then it usually comes around again. But, yeah, it's because the ground is constantly moving here with the frost and the heat and all that stuff. That's why I tend to call this part of the world the tundra. Because that's basically where we're at.
The fact that the infrastructure we have does as well as it does, I think, is amazing.
I do too. Yeah.
I mean, what we had, it was a cold spring. We had what, in a 2 month window, we swung 80, 90 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of water.
Yeah.
Everywhere. A lot of mosquitoes. How has that fight been going?
So, mosquito control, they test mosquitoes all the time. Mm-hmm. They have these spots and they test them. They found a group of mosquitoes that had West Nile virus.
Yep.
One of those things. It's not a matter of, I can't believe we found it. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah,
just
when and where.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't really change their operations. And again, we've had some more water now, but we've only done two citywide sprays.
Yeah.
So that's been pretty good. I haven't been chased. Maybe once or twice, but then that's generally around the time they spray.
Mm-hmm.
But just so people know, they keep an eye on this nonstop. And then a lot of the work they do, like spraying's kind of the end of the line.
Sure.
That's the one we see. They do a ton of work going to these stormwater retention ponds and stuff, and they throw stuff in there trying to kill the mosquitoes before they hatch.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I'm going to say. I think Grand Forks Mosquito Control, I think they do a fantastic job. They are almost always under budget, from what I understand. They do it the right way.
Well, if they have a year where they come in under budget,
mm-hmm.
they're allowed to carry that over. So if they have a year where they spray a ton, they don't have to increase their budget.
Yeah, because
it's been a pretty good balance for them.
Now, if you were to bring in an airplane and do aerial spraying, the cost difference is incredible, isn't it?
Well, and lots of times they do that. Now, one, if it's a bad year, but like when we'd have that military plane,
mm-hmm.
that wouldn't necessarily be a cost. I think we'd have to pay for the chemical. That crew would take it off. It was a training mission.
Oh, sure.
You know, they're traveling around and they mm-hmm. get some training hours for it, and they get there. So that it's not like we need the C-130 flying over the city, besides the fact that it looks cool.
Yeah. And it does go over my house.
Right. But that was that's all tied to training.
Sure.
That's all tied to training. Or if every once in a while we'll have a plane, and that really helps a ton, like getting in the greenway and over the river.
Yeah.
Some of those spots we have a hard time getting, but lots of times it'd be partnered with another city.
Yep.
You're like, okay, you're coming up. We'll get Grand Forks. We'll get
Emerado. Yeah, we'll hit them all.
We're going to knock all these out.
Mm-hmm.
So it brings the cost down. But we haven't had to do that
recently,
so that's nice.
You know, the people that wish they would, you don't want them to be spraying with an airplane because, you know, it's really, really bad then.
And you have, you know, it's really bad. And you have really less control over this. I mean, all the weather, everything has to line up perfectly for it to work.
Yep. When you mentioned the river, that's one good thing. I've never been bitten by a mosquito on the river catfishing.
On the river.
But those biting black ankle biting little flies. They're horrible.
Are tough. Yep.
Kid gonna play football again this year?
Yeah. That's what he tells me.
Yeah.
That's what he tells me.
Excited? I would be.
Yeah, he loves it. It's his first year of school football. He'd been in the youth football program. And again, kudos to the Grand Forks Youth Football Program. They do an amazing job. Run a great program. I can't say enough good things about that program. This year he's a Schrader Raider.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. God, that's just exciting times, though.
Yeah.
Watching your kids. I mean, pretty soon the kid's going to be in high school.
Well, as I told my wife, I'm like, we don't have to take him to games. The school does. Mm-hmm. We're driving less.
Yeah. Pretty soon, Dad, can I borrow the car keys?
Oh, yeah.
How old is he? 13?
Going to be 13 here in a couple of weeks.
And what are they going to drive when they're, what, 15 in North Dakota?
14. Heck, I think it's 14.
14?
Yeah.
I think 14 for your permit, and then you get your actual license when you're 15.
Wow.
Yeah. Talking from experience.
Well, okay. Well, you and I were driving stuff around when we were probably, what, 10, 11?
Only reason it took me till age 12 is because I was short. I couldn't reach the pedals. and everything was a standard transmission, so you got to be able to hit that clutch.
Tree on the tree, baby. That's what I learned on. It was a 1949 Ford farm truck is what I started driving because I was working for a farmer at the time.
First time I drove was a 1960s International grain truck in a field.
Oh, boy.
And my dad started it and put it in first gear, and he goes, and I couldn't reach the pedals.
Yeah.
Like, I was on my knees on the seat. And he's like, all you have to do is when you get to the end of the field, just shut the key off, and it'll stop. And he goes, I just need it down there in 20 minutes. Ready? Ready, set, go. And he got on. He hopped off to running board, went back on the combine, and I drove the thing down the field and got to where it was the end, shut the key off, and since it's in gear, it stops.
I couldn't imagine the grin on your face.
Oh, yeah. Driving the truck. You know, you push the choke in a little bit, get going a little fast, yeah. Can't reach the pedals.
Armstrong steering.
Yeah, we had a lawnmower that had a weight sensor on the seat.
Oh, yeah.
And when we first got that, we're like, and I sit down on the thing, and the thing shuts off. And my dad's like, you're not heavy enough for the thing to work. So we went and got duct tape and taped that sensor down. He goes, you're mowing the lawn. Yeah, I don't care how big you are.
That's like me and my wife's car. I can't even put a case of beer on the passenger seat because then the seatbelt alarm starts ringing on me. It's like, no, come on, man. No kid weighs this least amount. But, you know what? We love having you on the show, man. We can get right to the nonsense, the no-nonsense with you if we want to find out what's going around at Grand Forks. You're the guy to talk to, and I hope you don't mind. I bug you every couple of months, but you're a pleasure to have on the show.
That's fine. That's good.
I can't wait to talk to you again.
Yep, you get the mayor on Monday. So
we got the mayor coming on Monday. I wasn't going to tell anybody yet, but...
sorry about that.
Oh, no, that's okay. A lot of people right now are just... They want to have words with them, and you know, I try to tell them, hey, look, there's no surprises here. I'm not throwing you under the bus or anything, and he gets that. But Mayor Bochensky has always been really great to Grand Forks Best Source, as have you. Yep. So we sure appreciate it, man. You are the guy that knows any information about the city.
Yeah, do what I can. Cliff Clavin, right? I know a little bit about everything.
Except you won't have a beer with us.
It's 11 in the morning.
Nami, maybe next time. Enjoy the rest of your summer. You know, we mentioned it's already almost August, and it's going by fast. But
probably next time I'm on the show, kids are in school.
Yeah, I'm sure. We might even have snow on the ground. But
slow down.
Hopefully we'll get you before that. Thanks, John. All right, there you go. That's John Bernstrom. He is the public information officer for the city of Grand Forks. Love having him on the show. He tells it like he sees it and like it really is. I want to give a shout out to Moe's Cafe in the Grand Cities Mall for bringing you the show today. What a great little cafe. It's a good sit-down takeout diner. They have breakfast and lunch and daily and weekends. They've got gluten-free choices. You get 15% discount if you're in the military. And you got to check out the Moe's Daily Dish. You'll hear them every morning, Tuesday through Friday, right here on Grand Forks Best Source on our morning update. They have got great food, and they're looking for some help, too. You can either swing in or check out their Facebook page. But they're open Tuesday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., weekends from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. They're in Suite 31 in the Grand Cities Mall, right over by the old Kmart there. Moe's Cafe, got a brand new menu, too. You will absolutely love it. Hey, Dirty Thursday tomorrow, brought to you by River City Speedway. We're going to talk to modified driver Tyler Peterson, who has been on a roll. He's been on a terror lately. I'm looking forward to that. Hey, Big Screens and TV Streams is on at 2 today, so make sure you tune in. And you know what? If you've got any ideas for a show, maybe human interest, music, or just a good story, a good feel-good story, tell you what, email us, local@gfbestsource.com. Hey, remember to like, share, tag, and follow us. Hit that notification bell on your smartphone. Become a patron on Podbean, too. You could qualify for some pretty cool giveaways. We all know Grand Forks is a great place. Grand Forks Best Source is giving it an identity again.